The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.
Welcome to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. On today's broadcast, we'll discover truth from God's Word that brings freedom. So grab your Bible as we join Pastor Dwight now for today's message.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day. This is the day that you have made. And our response is that we will rejoice and be glad in it. We will rejoice. We will to do it, Lord God, because you've put the want to inside of us, Father. We thank you this morning, Father, for our salvation, which is not a work of our own desires, but it is a work of your love, Father. We thank you that you loved us so much that you gave your only begotten Son, Jesus, who came to this earth and lived a sinless life and gave yourself, Lord Jesus, as a living sacrifice and died for us on the cross, was buried in a tomb, descended into the very pits of hell, paying the price, separated from the Father, but resurrected by the Holy Spirit, that same Spirit that lives in us. And we declare today that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will quicken our mortal bodies today. Father, we thank you that we are alive and revived. We pray for those who are hurting this morning, Lord God. There are people who are going through trials that they don't know what to do, Lord God. But our eyes and their eyes are upon you, and we thank you that your grace is more than sufficient for every need. We pray for those who are literally facing death, Lord God, and we thank you that you give them courage and strength to stand. We thank you for those who are trusting in you, and whatever it is, when we're trusting in you, we cannot fail. We cannot lose, for you are causing us to be more than conquerors through Christ. We worship you and we honor you. We speak blessing over our brothers and sisters wherever they may be. And Father, for those especially that are in harm's way, we pray a hedge of angelic protection, Lord God, and spiritual wisdom, Lord God, to be where they're supposed to be. We pray that your will truly will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray that together. Father, thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Have your way in me and through me in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 14. Let's just start in verse 1. I'm going to read a little bit here, so you're going to have to stay with me. Matthew 14:1. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the reports about Jesus, and he said to his attendants, "This is John the Baptist. He's risen from the dead. That's why miraculous powers are at work within him." Now Herod had arrested John and bound him and put him in prison because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. For John had been saying to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." Herod wanted to kill John, but he was afraid of the people because they considered him a prophet. But on Herod's birthday, the daughter of Herodias danced for them and pleased Herod so much that he promised on oath to give her whatever she asked. Prompted by her evil, it doesn't say that, but that's the truth, mother, she asked, "Give me here on a platter the head of John the Baptist." The king was distressed because of his oaths and his dinner guests. In other words, he didn't really want to do it, but he felt obligated. He ordered that her request be granted, and he had John beheaded in the prison. How many know John? John the Baptist, John the Baptizer, Jesus' cousin, the forerunner to the Christ. Amen. According to Jesus, the greatest Old Testament prophet that ever lived, John the Baptist. That's what Jesus said. You say, well, what about how many miracles did John do? None that are recorded at all. And Jesus still said that out of all the prophets, because John operated in the Old Covenant, the New Testament don't start till Jesus is resurrected. So when you're reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, until you're reading the very last part, you're reading the Old Testament. You say, well, it's in my New Testament. I know that. But it's the New Covenant didn't take effect until Jesus was resurrected. John the Baptizer, he wasn't really a Baptist, just so you know that. They hadn't come up with that yet. He was Jewish. a Jewish prophet, a Hebrew prophet, the forerunner, the one who had been prophesied about. He confronts the king because the king's living in error. The king literally took his own brother's wife to be his own wife. That's not cool. Abuse of privilege, and it's against God's law. And so John the Baptizer, he wasn't afraid to confront. He went in there and confronted him one too many times, you might say. Got himself thrown in prison, and then here comes this wicked woman, the same one who had become the... She gave herself an upgrade. See, the king was her brother-in-law, now the king's her husband. She's just traded him in, got an upgrade. So she convinced her daughter, who was probably, honestly, probably no more than a teenager, to dance provocatively in front of this king until it's got him all worked up and he made a stupid promise. Oh, you please me so much, girl, I'll give you anything you want. If I was her, I would have asked for his whole kingdom. Told him, get off the throne, give me the crown, give me the scepter, give me the ring, get out the way. That's what if I was her, I'd have made him pay. Mama, what should we do? Mama's head spun around a couple of times. Green stuff came out. That's Hollywood. That don't really happen. And she said, girl, you need to tell him to give me the head of John the Baptist on a platter. She'd been nursing that grudge. She'd been waiting for an opportunity. Well, he's obligated. He's a king. He gave his word. He don't want to humiliate himself. And what does the Bible tell us? It said John the Baptist was beheaded in prison. I'm reading this because I want you to understand that even in a life the way God wants it to be lived, things don't always go the way we as human beings think they should go. And life is not always easy. I just wanted to destroy that illusion. If you've developed an illusion that, hey, if I could just, I don't know what's wrong with me, but if I just got my act together, I wouldn't have problems. That's just a lie. It's a lie. So John the Baptist was beheaded, and cousin Jesus, that's his cousin. Not only his cousin, but he's the forerunner. Jesus, I believe, had an awareness that that would be the end of the forerunner, because John himself said, I must decrease so that he can increase. In other words, I got to get out of the way. And I don't believe John the Baptist was too worried about it. I think he was completely content to be beheaded. I believe God gave him the courage to face that with joy. The same way God gave Jesus Christ, our Savior, the courage to face the cross with joy. The Bible says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. You know what joy was set before him that he was able to endure the cross? The same joy that's set before me today. You're setting, aren't you? I mean that. Jesus saw you saved, and that gave him the courage and strength to take the cross. John saw Jesus stepping into the fullness of being the Messiah that he was, since that gave him the strength to endure. You got to know that whether life is going the way you think it ought to go or whether you think it's extremely challenging, that God is still God, and it is okay. It's more than okay. It's good. This is good. We got to praise God before the breakthrough. We were singing that, weren't we? So watch Jesus' response. Hallelujah. Because the greatest offering that I'm ever going to give God is not money. The greatest offering I'm ever going to give God is my 100% complete and total trust. Verse 13, when Jesus heard about what happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. It's a good thing to do when you need a minute. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. He couldn't get away. When Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd, and he had compassion on them. And what did he do? He healed their sick. Don't ever think Jesus doesn't care. As evening approached, the disciples came to him, and they said, this is a remote place, and it's getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy for themselves some food. Verse 16, Jesus said, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. Look at somebody and say, this is only a test. Had it been an actual emergency, Jesus would have raptured you. This is only a test. They said, verse 17, we have only five loaves of bread and two fish. Bring them here to me. What do you do in life when the situation you're faced with is bigger than your abilities? What should you do? What did Jesus tell them to do? Bring it to me. I could send you home on that word right there, and if you just went home and applied that, that'd be more than enough to get you through this week. Amen? Hallelujah. But you know I'm going to feed you better than that. But we've got to take that. If I'm looking at something that's bigger than my ability and I feel overwhelmed, or I don't, it's coming at me, and I'm going to bring it to Jesus. I'm going to bring it to the Lord. I'm bringing it to God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. Amen. What happens when we give it over to Him? He directed the people to sit down on the grass and take in the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking where Jesus looked for help. To heaven. Jesus didn't say, watch me do this. Even Jesus didn't say, I got this. Did you get that? Jesus didn't say, I can handle this. I can do all things through me. Jesus looked to the Father. He looked to heaven and he gave thanks. He did what? What did he do? He gave thanks. He gave thanks for 5 loaves and 2 fish in the face of a multitude of people to be fed? Exactly. I'm glad you got it. He didn't give complaints. He didn't gripe. He didn't murmur. He didn't worry out a worry prayer. You know, you're called to be a prayer warrior, not a prayer worrier. A prayer offered without faith is nothing more than a vocalized worry directed right in the face of God. I don't have a note that says that. I've never said that before in my entire life. Where do you suppose that came from? That a prayer offered without faith is nothing more than an expression of worry directed right at God. I don't think God deserves that. Then I know it ain't going to accomplish anything. So I'm going to try to make sure when I pray, I always, always include faith. Amen. He gave thanks and he broke the loaves and then he gave them to the people. Is that what it says? Read it. Don't think you know it. Read it. He broke the loaves and then he gave them to the disciples. Question, who fed the multitude? The disciples is the correct answer. Who empowered the disciples to feed the multitude? Jesus, of course. Who empowered Jesus to empower the disciples to feed the multitude? The Father, God, Jehovah God, covenant God, the God who said, I got a covenant of love, Deuteronomy 7, way back there, I'm going to make a covenant of love with my people. And whoever keeps my commandments, I will not break my covenant of love, not down to 1,000 generations. God said that. He called it a covenant of love. He didn't call it a covenant of rules. He didn't call it a covenant of religion. He called it a covenant of love. Why can I depend on the goodness of God to be manifest in my life? You know what grace is? Grace is the goodness of God manifest in your life. Why can I count on God's grace? Why can I always? I can always count on God's grace. And the answer is because of his love. Why did Jesus look to the Father, receive the blessing, break the loaves and fish with the blessing, give it to the disciples as a blessing, and the disciples then bless the people? I want you to get that. How many of you are starting to get a clue where I'm going now? We started out with, hey, John the Baptist gets arrested. He gets beheaded. It doesn't always look like a good thing. It doesn't always look like it's going your way. But John was decreasing so Jesus could increase. There was a purpose and a plan. There's always a purpose and a plan in the pain. In Celebrate Recovery, we learned this. God never wastes a hurt. God is near the brokenhearted. And a crushed, contrite, broken spirit is God's perfect sacrifice. 3 words God never wants to hear you say is, I got this. He wants to hear you say, I need you. And here in a minute, I'm going to put some offering in this basket and I'm going to tell the Lord, I need you. And I'm not looking to anyone or anything else besides you, Lord. That's what I'm going to do by my expression of worship that I call tithing, because God called it that. So he gave the loaves and the fishes to the disciples, and they in turn were so rich with food that they had more than they could possibly eat themselves. And they were given it for a purpose. To bless others and bring glory to whom? To Jesus. who gives glory to the Father. That's the purpose of prosperity. Prosperity has a purpose. God richly gives us all things to enjoy. That's a direct quote from the Word of God in Timothy. He wants you to enjoy stuff. But in your enjoying of the stuff, you remember the rich young ruler comes to Jesus? What must I do to inherit eternal? I do to inherit eternal. Jesus said, you know the commandments. He goes, yeah, I kept all those ever since I was little. What do I still lack? The guy knew that there was a hole in his heart that he couldn't fill and thing couldn't fill. And Jesus said, you sell all that you have, give it to the poor, come follow me. That's a direct invitation to become a disciple. And you'll have treasure in heaven. Woo, man, that's an offer that nobody could refuse except for him. He turned it flat down, didn't he? He walked away sad, the Bible says, because he had much possessions. Here's my translation. He walked away sad because much possessions had possession of him. He was possessed by his possessions. What would have happened if he would have given that all? He'd go, yes, sir, I'll be back as soon as I get that stuff done. What would have happened? Peter later said, Lord, we gave up our houses and our lands and our families and this and that to follow you. Jesus said this, I promise you, in this life, you will have 100 times more, and in the life to come, eternal life. What was Jesus inviting that young man to do? To lay down what appeared to be rich, temporary riches, to become eternally rich. And not just eternally rich. I don't believe for a second that when you respond to God in your giving, that God is taking something from you. I believe God is preparing you to receive. If I was the greatest football wide receiver that ever lived, and I'm running down the field with a football in each hand, yelling at the quarterback, throw it to me, throw it to me, I'm open. He throws it. What am I going to catch it with? My hands are already full. Amen. I got to prepare. So Jesus gave it to the disciples. The disciples were so overly blessed that they, the disciples, were able to feed a whole multitude of people. Verse 20. They all ate. And they literally ate until they were satisfied. Wow. I mean, they didn't just get a little crumb each. They all ate until they were completely full and didn't even want more. Jesus invented the all-you-can-eat buffet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And the number of those who ate was about 5,000. What's that next word? Men. In other words, 5,000 without counting the women and children. Go over to Luke's gospel, the 9th chapter. Show you something else that Matthew doesn't tell us about. In Luke's gospel in the 9th chapter, let's just pick it up in the 16th verse, Luke 9:16. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them, and then he gave them to the disciples, sat before the people. They all ate. They were all satisfied. How many disciples did Jesus have at that point? Disciples, not followers, disciples. How many? 12. Verse 17, they all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples, 12 disciples, picked up how much? 12 basketfuls, not baskets half full. It wasn't just that the disciples used baskets to go out and gather up the little tiny tidbit of scraps that were left over. We have arrived at our offering point. So you can start getting cheerful right now. Amen.
We hope you're being blessed and encouraged as Pastor Dwight shares this inspiring teaching from God's Word today. And would like to take a moment to thank you for listening and invite you to reach out to us here at the Truth Broadcast. It would be our honor to stand in faith with you in prayer about any need you have, and to rejoice with you for the wonderful things God is doing in your life. You can contact us by email at thetruthbroadcast@yahoo.com, find us on Facebook, or by calling or texting us at 580-665-9866. We would also like to invite you to sow into this ministry of God's Word by sending your offering of support to P.O. Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma, 73624. Your seed will help us reach and teach as many people as possible with the truth of God's Word. Thank you again for your prayers and support. Now let's join Pastor Dwight for the rest of today's message.
He took a need that was so great that even Jesus himself couldn't meet it. He had to look to heaven. Took the little tiny bit that we'd come to know as a small boy's lunch. Gave thanks for what he had, not griping about what he didn't have. Set his faith on the goodness and the ability of the Father rather than the inability of himself or the disciples. Received that blessing to bless that bread and those fish. And then that he gave that blessing to someone else, the disciples, who gave it to someone else who ate until they were all full. And then there's how much left over? 12 baskets full. Here's a question for you. Don't you believe that God is smart enough to know how much food to make? We all know that God is smart enough, wise enough, has foresight enough. He could have literally made it. There was not one tiny, teeny little scrap left. And therefore, he would be the just the right amount God. Hallelujah. We'd be in here singing, "Oh God, you're the just the right amount God." But we don't say that, do we? My Bible says God is able, Ephesians 3:20, to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can think, ask, or imagine, according to the power that's at work in you. Exceeding, abundant, far beyond what you can think, ask, or imagine. Well, I don't know about you, but I can imagine some pretty good stuff. And God goes, "Well, you think you can imagine some stuff. You just can't even imagine what I'd like to do in your life." I said, "Well, just do it, God." And he goes, "I'm working on it. I'm trying to grow you into it." When God took Israel to the promised land, how many know it was promised? But you know what he said to them? He said, "I can't give you the whole land all at once because the land is vast and the wild animals would overtake you because you're few in number." My point is this. God is not the one ever withholding good from our lives. If there's something that we need or we feel that we need, but we don't have, all we have to do is grow into it. And part of growing into where I'm going, a big part of it, is being faithful where I'm at. Amen. I felt prompted of the Lord to read that scripture. I was just going to read about the 12 basketfuls. And the Holy Spirit said, no, back up. How many know I like to be obedient? Anybody glad I was obedient? Amen. No one asked me to preach this besides Jesus. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 2. 2 Corinthians 1, 2. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say this to anyone who's listening to me today that you don't feel like you have God's grace and you don't feel like you have God's peace in your life. I'm going to tell you why you feel that way. You say, "You don't even know me. How do you know what I've done?" Because I've been in your shoes. I was looking in the wrong places. Grace and peace from God only come from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not believing in him alone that makes the difference. It's belonging to him that makes the difference. Amen. And if you need grace and peace, there's nothing that would ever keep him from accepting you if you'll come. Amen. Every hindrance has been removed. Someone may be hearing me and you're bound up by an addiction. How many of you have been in a place in your life where grace and peace seemed the furthest thing from where you were living at that moment? But when you surrendered, did you have to straighten up and fly right and come all the way home? Or did you just have to surrender and give up control? Because for me, I felt like I was a long ways away and my life was a big bag of garbage, but all it took for grace and peace to come flooding into my life was complete and total surrender. Not, God, I want you to fix this, but leave my personal life out of it. That doesn't work. Come on. God says, you want me to fix your life, let me fix you. Because it's not the devil messing up your life, it's you. Because you're trying to fix everything yourself. And you're trying to control things. You're trying to manipulate things. You're trying to do it all without me. How many know with Christ I can do all things? And what did Jesus say in John 15? Without me you can do nothing. And I proved it. Hallelujah. So grace and peace be to you from God our Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Without him there is no grace and peace. Don't try to find it somewhere else. Don't try to get peace in your life by you trying to fix the problems. It's not going to work. More than likely, you're going to make it worse. How many believe I should not try to do brain surgery on myself? Come on. And yet we try to do things. Listen to me. We try to do things in our life sometimes that are more life-changing than brain surgery. We try to operate on ourselves in the spiritual realm, fixing spiritual problems with carnal philosophies. It doesn't work. So it only comes through Jesus. Verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion. I'm going to tell you, God loves you. Compassion means to be encircled with love. God's got you surrounded. You could better as well come out with your hands up. Throw down your weapons, all your defenses, and come out with your hands up today. Amen. Because you're surrounded by the compassion of God. He is the God of all comfort who comforts us in what? All our troubles. Well, I thought if I had God in my life, I wouldn't have no troubles. Well, you thought wrong. He comforts us in all our troubles. Why, God, why did I got to have troubles? Without troubles, you don't know what comfort looks like. Without troubles, you don't know what it is to be comforted. So life ain't always going to just be a bed of roses. And I like roses. I don't like thorns. How many of you know they come together? It's one with the other. You don't have roses without thorns. But guess what? You can have thorns without roses. You got to let those roses blossom. Right now at my house, I could go home right now and cut you off a piece of our rose bush and give it to you. And you get nothing but a dried up stick with hard, pokey thorns on it. But you just wait a little while. You just wait. You just keep expecting. Keep walking out that door expecting to see that rose. And before too long, that rose will be so beautiful and smell so sweet that you will forget all about those thorns. Amen. Heavenly Father, we're here today because you are so sweet that you make us forget about all the thorns in life. Father, there's not one of us who's not suffered heartache, who's not faced disappointments that at times made us just absolutely put a bitter taste in our mouth. But God, your goodness, God, leads us to turn away from that, to repent, and to turn to you. And today we turn our hearts and our minds to you. And we say that you are our God and there is no other. We are privileged, Lord Jesus, to bring to you, Lord God, an offering of our trust and our hope in you alone, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. If you prayed with Pastor Dwight, let us know. We would love to hear about God working in your life as we continue to pray for you. So send your prayer requests, praise reports, or financial support to The Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma 73624. You can connect with us by email at truthbroadcast@yahoo.com. So, until next time, continue in the Word and let the truth of God's Word set you free.
The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.